Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mandi Lila, chapter 17. The Lord travels to Vrindavan, text 138. It's a long verse. Swasuka nibrita chaitas tar viudas tanya bhavo pi ajita ruchir lila krista saras tadiyam vyatanu ta kripayas tatva deepam puranam tam akila vri chinam gnam vyasa sonum natosmi. Translation: let me offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, the son of Vyasadev, Sukadev Goswami. It is he who defeats all inauspicious things within this universe. Although in the beginning he was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman realization and was living in a secluded place, giving up all other types of consciousness, he became attracted by the most melodious pastimes of Lord Krishna. He therefore mercifully spoke the Supreme Purana, known as Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the bright light of the absolute truth and which describes the activities of Lord Krishna. This verse was spoken by Sutta Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the purport. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyan Gyan Shalakaya Shakshumanitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste 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 Namaste. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adita Garadhar Shiva Sarigora Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Devadasi. Hare Krishna. Can we move, besides the old Prabhujis who need the world, can we move here, like... I'm sorry, I keep asking people to move closer. When we are scattered, it's like we're quarreling. Oh, I don't want to be close to him. But when we're together, I can distribute, my energy is easier to spread like this, but when it's far, it's like, I don't know who I'm even talking to. But. Okay. Today again, we're continuing from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila. And today's verse has practically no purport. Just one line. Prabhupada refers to Srimad Bhagavatam, but 12th canto. I don't have that here. Now the translation says, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, the son of Vyasadev Sukadev Goswami. So, we're going to discuss based on the translation, because there's no purport. And from the translation, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, I hope I can say something that will be beneficial to everybody, and myself especially. And I can be a transparent medium for Krishna to say something this morning. So we'll just look at the translation as it is. We'll take each line and we'll try to see if we can bring out something from that. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, the son of Vyasadev Sukadev Goswami. It is he who defeats all inauspicious things within this universe. So here we can see the verse starts with a prayer to the spiritual master. And every day we sing the Guru Astaka. Banda Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Banda Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Every day we say prayers to Guru. Every day. Now the importance of Guru, or the importance of a spiritual master, cannot be overemphasized. We cannot stretch it, because it's something that we cannot do without. Now, this is a concept that is difficult for most people to accept. Like, why do I need a guru? Why can't I just be self-realized on my own? Why do I need somebody to connect me with God if God is in my heart? Why do I need to surrender to somebody to show me how to get to God? Why does my liberation depend on my surrendering to somebody? Now, inasmuch as your liberation does not totally depend on you surrendering to someone, but the process by which you can actually surrender to the Supreme Lord depends on how you can surrender to His servants. The first verse of Guru Astaka. Samsara dava danalida loka chanayakari no gana ganatam. Patasakari na gunana vasya vanda guru si charanaravinda. Who knows the translation? Louder. No. Say as you know it. Say as you know it. No problem. Louder. Fire. Uh-huh. Basically, that's it. I offer my respectful obeisance 3 times daily. But it's interesting. I'm not trying to judge anyone. We say that prayer every day, but how many of us really know the translation? Every day, we say it. That's the first verse, the very first verse. I'm not judging anyone, please don't get me wrong. But that's what Guru Maharaj does. That's what Guru does. Omagyana Timiranda said, Yanagina Chalakaya, same thing. So the darkness from ignorance, which is holding us here, and that ignorance is keeping us in this material world, which is like a blazing fire. Because why would you want to stay in a place that has blazing fire? Because either you don't have the intelligence to get out, or you don't even know there is a fire. One of the two. It's either you don't have the intelligence to get out, or you don't know there is a fire. So Guru tells you first, there is fire. Okay, then the next thing, how do we get out? Guru shows you how to get out. But how? Tadvidi prani prasana sevaya, upadhyanti jijana, gyaninata tadashina, 434, Bhagavad Gita. The knowledge to get out, you will get from Guru. But what should you do? Try to learn this truth, which will take you out of the blazing fire, by doing what? You surrender unto Guru. You inquire submissively. You render service. Inquire, surrender, render service. Now, Guru will impart the knowledge unto you. Omagyana timiranda se gyana gyana shalakaya tachum tamiyana tasmasi guru vena maha. Guru will open that eyes so that you can see the fire. Guru will open your intelligence and remove that ignorance so that you can see there's a fire. Because why? Gyanina tatwa dashina. He has seen the truth. He knows the truth. He knows there's a fire. And he knows how to get out of the fire. So he will open your eyes and say, hey, there's fire. See it. Okay, so Guru, what do? We get out. How? He gives it, Gyanina tatwa dashina. He gives you that knowledge to get out. He gives you the knowledge on how to get out. So the verse is starting with a prayer to Sukadev Goswami, who is the Guru Maharaj, saying, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sukadev Goswami. It is he who defeats all inauspicious things within this universe. Now, what is most inauspicious in this universe besides the ignorance of who we are? That's the most inauspicious thing. Now, someone can argue that there's maybe something more, but, excuse me, if we do not even know who we are, how to get out of here, why we're here, that's the beginning of our inauspiciousness. Inauspicious means something which is not good. That we are here in the first place is not a good idea. Irrespective of why we're here. Whether we are here to liberate people or we're here. We are here in the first place is not a very good idea. So Guru knows, Guru sees. First verse, Guru Astakai. That's the very first thing Guru does. So for Guru to be able to do that, Guru has to have a qualification. So I cannot be Guru if I cannot see this fire. I cannot be Guru if I do not know how to put out the fire. I cannot be Guru if I cannot show you the fire and help you get out. That's why you have firefighters. Firefighters know how to identify fire, how to fight the fire, how to rescue people from the fire. Now you cannot be a firefighter if you only know how to put out fire, but you don't know how to rescue people from a burning building. What kind of firefighter are you? Your training is not complete. You understand? So, yes, we have different kinds of gurus. Kanishtha gurus, Mariamma gurus, Uttamadhikari gurus. And you can say maybe depending on their level of knowledge, some know how to put out the fire, some know how to identify the fire, some know how to get you out of that building that is burning, and that's the most important thing. Because you can be outside trying to put out the fire with your hose, but I'm stuck in the building. Before you know it, something collapses from the top, poof, I'm out. Or I choke from asphyxia. So Guru should be able to put out the fire and get you out of that burning building, which is the material world. But to be able to do that, he has to have the knowledge to do it. So Guru has qualification, disciple has qualification. Does this make sense? Okay. Now it continues. It says, although in the beginning he was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman realization and was living in a secluded place, giving up all other types of consciousness, he became attracted by the most melodious pastime of Lord Krishna. Now this verse talks about Sukadeva Goswami before hearing Bhagavatam, when he was attracted to the Brahman realization. But after hearing Bhagavatam, he gave up this attraction for the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is another interesting point. Now, Guru himself, now, in the first part, we identify that Guru has to have the knowledge of how to get you out of this burning fire. Now, but Guru himself has to be situated on the platform where he is not confused. Now, when Sukadeva Goswami was still in the womb attracted to the Brahman realization, that's a confused state. Because in the Brahman realization, or in the Brahma Jyoti, or the Brahman conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is not much happening there. You have three stages. You have Brahman, you have Paramatma, you have Bhagwan. Bhagwan is the highest, and that is what we are striving to understand, and that is where there is more personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the Brahman realization, it's God is light, God is sound, God is energy, God is whatever, like that. But on that aspect, yes, it's true, but God is more than light, sound, energy, etc. God is more than that. Then we get to the platform of, oh, God is in you, God is in you, God is in me, God is here. Okay, but more than that. God is a person, he has a name, he has a form, his form is eternally blissful, full of youth, knowledgeable, excuse me, and he has a place he stays. That's more information. Now, here it said, although in the beginning he was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman realization. Now, if Guru is still absorbed in mental gymnastics of the scriptures, or Guru is still absorbed in word jugglery of the scriptures, or if Guru is still confused about what the absolute truth is, or if Guru doesn't actually know what Vedanta is, the conclusion of Vedas is, or if Guru doesn't have proper knowledge and understanding and application of the scriptures according to time, place, and circumstance,
then Guru is said to be confused. And in that state, Guru cannot be happy.
That's not good.
Anyway, so the idea is, if Guru has proper understanding of the scriptures, has internalized them, and knows how to apply them according to time, place, and circumstance, then Guru is said to be knowledgeable, and then Guru is said to be happy. And if Guru is knowledgeable and happy, then he can pass on that knowledge and happiness to his disciples. Now, the beauty about the scriptures is, these books were written, okay, let's just say at least 5,000 years ago, but even more, in chapter 4, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, exactly. Krishna says, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivajwan, and Vivajwan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ishwaku. Now, this is a long time ago. A really long time ago. Now, but the beauty is, despite it being so long ago, we're still using it now. So something has to be truth inside, because how can something spoken so long ago be applicable in our situation today? The situation when Krishna spoke this to the sun god in 2016 is not the same thing. It's a two different eras, but it's still applicable today. Why? Because one, this is a living text. Now that's the problem. People think scripture is a set of books full of law, rule and regulations that are just like this. Now, if you see scripture as just a book full of rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, and text, then that is what it is to you. But only Guru can make you understand that this is a living text, is the literary expansion of the Lord, which is applicable to every situation according to time, place, and circumstances, but Guru knows how to administer that application. I'll tell you an interesting story. There was once a veterinary doctor. There's a doctor who takes care of animals. He had an apprentice. Now he takes care of cows. He treats cows. Now this apprentice just came. New apprentice. He doesn't know much. So one day someone brought a cow with a swollen throat. Now he's watching Guru. He's not asking questions. Inquire from him submissively. He didn't ask questions. He just saw Guru. Guru looks at the cow. In this case, Guru is the vet doctor. He's learning to become a veterinary doctor from this. So Guru looks at the cow, touches the cow's swollen neck, goes inside, gets a stick, and hits the cow on the neck. The swell goes down. The guy is like, wow, what am I doing here? I have learned it. The way to treat cows with swollen neck is to beat them on the neck. And they get well. What do I need to sit down here doing? I'm going to start my own veterinary hospital. Guru, bye-bye. Guru says, hey, your education is not complete. He says, why should I waste my time here when you treated a cow in less than 2 minutes? I saw it with my eye. You want to waste my time? No, I am going to become my own guru right now. Okay. He leaves. He opens his own school or his own vet hospital. Not up to one day, someone comes with a cow, same condition, swollen neck, and says, please, can you help my cow? He says, easy. This is actually the first thing I'd learned. He goes inside, he gets a big stick, comes out, wham, on the cow's neck. The cow passes out. The cow dies. Now the owner of the cow is looking at him. Hey, you just killed my cow. Now he is confused. But Guru did this. And the cow was well. I did the same thing. And the cow dies. What is happening? Long story short, he goes back to Guru. Guruji, I don't understand what is happening. You did something. I saw you do it. I'm doing the same thing. but it's not working. Guru said, what did you do? He said, well, someone came to me with a cow with a swollen neck. I saw you last time, you hit the cow with a stick on the neck and the cow got well. I did the same thing, the cow died. Why?
Guru laughed.
Guru said, did you check what was on the neck of the cow? He said, I saw you touch the neck. I also did the same thing. I touched his neck. So Guru said, but do you know what was wrong with the cow that I cured? He said, I don't know. It was swollen. So the cow swallowed some fruit, which was too big for its throat. All I did with the stick was push the fruit inside. And I did not really hit. That's the way I touched it. The fruit that was stuck in his neck was able to slide down. Now, your cow had throat infection, which was making it swell. These are two different things. If you had stayed, maybe you would have learned that also. So long story short, summary of this, moral of the story is, now, Guru has the knowledge. Guru knows how to apply it according to time, place, and circumstance. So, the knowledge application according to time, place, and circumstance is due to the fact that the scripture is not dead. The scripture is not some dead text written thousands and millions of years ago that does not change. Now, the principle of the scripture does not change, but the application according to time, place, and circumstance, Guru knows how. So, treating the cow is the principle. But the application of treating the cow differs according to the situation of the cow in this case. But that application, Guru knows best. So if we don't, now if Guru is confused about the scripture, if Guru doesn't understand the scripture, if Guru is stuck in the Brahman realization of the scripture, how can he administer treatment and how can he teach the disciple how to administer treatment? Because at the end of the day, Yare Deka Tarika Krishna Upadesh. Who knows the second line? Thank you. Whatever you go, whosoever you meet, Jai Sushigonita Aiki Jai. Sushipanchita to Aki Jai. Wherever you go, whosoever you meet, you talk to them about Krishna. And in this way you become Guru. Now, the idea is not to become guru. That's not why we go around teaching people about Krishna, or I want to become guru. No. But the idea is, if you repeat and teach this scripture, which is a living text, which will give you happiness, which will help you come out of your confusion of Brahman realization, if you teach it in the right way, then you become guru. Now, guru in this sense doesn't mean disciples and all that, not in that sense. But guru means, it could be, I'm not saying it's not, but that's not the motive behind becoming guru in this sense. The motive is, you know, Yare Deka Tarika, whoever you go, whoever you meet, you just want to share to them about Krishna. Or share with them, sorry, about Krishna. So we'll continue. Now, it says, although in the beginning he was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman realization and was living in a secluded place, giving up all other types of consciousness, he became attracted by the most melodious pastimes of Lord Krishna. Now, this is interesting. The only thing that can get us out of the dryness, the confusion of Brahman realization, is the melodious pastimes of Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami had the same problem. Vyasadeva had the same problem. After compiling the Vedas, he was still not happy. Narada Muni said, have you glorified the Lord enough? No, then do it. 10th canto came out. So, to get out of the confusion of Brahman realization, to get out of the dryness of mental speculation of the scriptures, we have to tap into something that is sweet, something that is melodious. Now, there's this song that we sang the other day when Hari Bhakti was here. Adaram Maduram. So everything about the Lord of Sweetness is sweet. His flute is sweet. His gait, his standing is sweet. His actions are sweet. His words, everything about the Lord of Sweetness is sweet. So his Lila Maduram. His Lila, his pastimes are also sweet. And because his pastimes are sweet, when we connect to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, We taste that sweetness that makes us forget or leave the dryness of the Brahman realization. Just this morning I was telling them, what will gulab jamun taste like without sugar? Imagine gulab, very soft, very nice, soaking syrup, but no sugar. Now you begin to have a picture of what Brahman realization looks like. Now, but the pastimes of Krishna, his leela, is the essence. So if I have tasted gulab jamun nicely made with sugar, why will I want to eat gulab jamun without sugar? And they said you cannot get a higher taste without giving up a lower taste. For you to get a higher taste, you have to get a lower taste. For you to give up a lower taste, you have to get a higher taste. So the key factor of Sukadeva Goswami living this realization is that he was able to hear about the melodious pastimes of Lord Krishna. While in the womb, he heard Bhagavatam. So he said, oh, this is better. This makes more sense. This is real. This is personal. He therefore mercifully spoke the Supreme Purana, known as Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the bright light of the absolute truth, and which describes the activities of Krishna, of Lord Krishna. So after hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, after understanding that I have been confused, I have been in the Brahman realization, this doesn't help, this will not help me get out of here, I cannot help anyone get out of the fire of the material world, I cannot impact truth to anyone because of this, then what did he do? He didn't just get that sweetness and keep it to himself. He mercifully spoke the Supreme Purana known as Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. 7 days. So he heard, he understood, he internalized. Now he gave it back to someone also who was in very, very dire need. And that's Guru. That's Guru's job. Now, Guru is not after what happens when I give this person this knowledge. He's not after what you become after he gives you. Not that he doesn't care, but he's detached from the result. His objective is, I have received this and I have to give you. And that's why we have the parampara system. But the disciple also must be eager to get it. Just like the case of Maharaj Parikshit. He had 7 days to leave. He needed to know what to do. And Sukadeva Goswami was there. And, you know, both of them in the same place. Sukadeva Goswami also passed on the knowledge he had received onto Maharaj Parikshit. And by hearing from Sukadeva Goswami, he was able to perfect his life. So when we understand the sweetness of the absolute truth, when we internalize this sweetness, then we also pass out this sweetness about the Lord's pastimes to someone else. Thereby also helping them understand and come to the realization of what we have also understood and realized. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on, and on like that. It says, which is the bright light of the absolute truth and which describes the activities of Lord Krishna. Now this is the Bhagavatam. So, in order to be able to describe or share the activities of Lord Krishna, one must have heard about it. Now we have Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. You hear, you say, you remember. Hear, say, remember. What you hear, if you don't repeat it, there's a tendency you might forget it. It's normal. But when you hear something and you repeat it, then there's a more likelihood that you remember it. And the more you repeat something, the more you remember it. The more you remember it, the more you become good at it. That's the trick there. That's the simple thing. That we want to be able to repeat what we've heard about Krishna so much that it becomes part of us, so much that at the time of death, it's a reflex. Not that we're just hearing it so that we can die remembering Krishna. That's not the essence. But the point is so that it becomes our second nature. That we can do it spontaneously, you know. That no matter how deep you're sleeping, if I wake you up and I give you food, no matter how deep you are in sleep, once you wake up, you won't put it in your eye. Because it's a natural process, you know, food goes in the mouth. No matter how tired, no matter how weak, no matter what, you put it in your mouth. Because it's second nature, it's reflex, it's natural. So we want to repeat the glories and the activities of Lord Krishna to the extent where it becomes second nature. Actually, it should become first nature because that's our real nature. But when I say second nature, I mean in the sense that it becomes part and parcel of us. And when something becomes part and parcel of you, then it's natural for you, it's natural for you to also give someone else. You can't give what you don't have. Simple. If you don't have something, you can't give it. If I don't have $1 million, there's no way I can give you. I need to have that and even more so I can give you. In the same way, if I don't have a particular extent of realization about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I cannot give you. Now, that is why you see, I mean, practical example, before Srila Prabhupada went to the West, so many people went there before him. So many people. Preaching the same Bhakti Yoga. But for some reason or the other, it didn't happen. Now he goes there, same thing, it happens. And most of the early Prabhupada disciples said there was just something about him, that we saw him, if you look at Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, they say, we saw him, he spoke, and we just did it. They didn't have to, but there was something about him. Because he has something that he can give, and he has more, that no matter how much he gives you, he has enough. So if we do not have that deep realization enough to give, very soon it's either we become bereft of it because we've not tapped deep into it enough, or we're giving but it's not having the impact it should have because it's not real, it's not tangible, it's not solid. You understand? If I give you €2 today, probably in the next 30 minutes, you'll be like, it's finished. Maybe less. If I give you 2,000, maybe some more time. If I give you 10,000, maybe some more time. If I give you 100,000, maybe some more time. If I give you 1,000,000, maybe a lot more time. So it's like that. The more we have in our spiritual bank account, the more tangible it is there, the more we can give. But you cannot give that if you don't have it. You can try. Now, but does that mean that we should not give because we don't have enough? No. The principle about giving in this case is that either you have enough to give and you give it because you have the adhikar, the spiritual capability to give it, or if you recognize that I don't have enough to give but I want to give, you make yourself a transparent medium. So you are not the one giving. Krishna is giving. Now, transparent medium in the sense that you are like this. You are just helping them connect to the mercy. And that's what Guru does most times. The Guru helps. Guru is a transparent medium to connect you to the mercy of Krishna. So it's not that Guru himself is giving you in one sense. Yes, he has the spiritual capacity to give you, but he is also a transparent medium, letting that energy flow through him from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, letting that realization flow through him so that you can get enough. And he also keeps getting. In that way, he helps you, and he's also helping himself. And to the degree which you remain connected to him, acting as a transparent medium, to that degree you get the mercy. It's just like you put paper and you put magnifying glass and you try to balance the sun ray. Now, the sun can shine on that same paper the whole day. It will not move. Nothing will happen to it. But the magnifying glass can focus all that energy and put it on the paper, and in a few seconds the paper is burning. So that's what Guru does. Krishna's mercy is there, and we're there, but we're not getting it. But Guru becomes that magnifying glass that collects it and says, and then pinpoints it on each and every one of us so that it's intense. You get full dose. And in a short while, it's happening. So that's why we need Guru. The sun is there. We can be like the paper in the sun. But if we do not tap to something that concentrates that energy and focuses and pinpoints it on us, then it's just everywhere. Now, the sun is passing through the magnifying glass, burning up the paper, but does the magnifying glass get burnt? Does it? Because it's a transparent medium. It doesn't interfere with the sunlight. It gets it and gives it. And it still remains as powerful as it is. It doesn't burn, nothing happens to it. But it gets as much and it keeps giving it. And it remains the magnifying glass. It doesn't change. It doesn't burn. So that's what Guru should be. That's what Guru is. But if the magnifying glass now tries to temper with the amount of sunlight coming in, or if some part of the magnifying glass is painted, then does it have the ability to capture all the sunlight? If you cover one side of the magnifying glass with something, and you cover this side, then it doesn't capture the light it needs. It's mixed. It's not transparent anymore. It's not as powerful as it is anymore. You understand? So Guru is transparent. It's like not glass. He gets it as it is. He gives it as it is. He remains unchanged because he's allowing it to flow. Untouched, untampered, as it is. Then you benefit, he benefits, you get out of this fire of this material world, you know, samsara dava. You get the knowledge, and then you understand who you are and you go back home back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. I spoke 5 minutes extra, I'm sorry. If there's any question, comment, contribution, correction, adjustment, we can take.
Yeah, you said that to have it, this life, so that we can preach Krishna consciousness, and it's, we get this from sadhana, and then we distribute what is overflowing. To distribute the overflow.
John, any other contribution, comments, correction, adjustment? Embrace.
Embrace the book. And they say, oh, it's my, this is my doll. Like, this doll, this is mine. And I see this sincerity, that they just see that this is something which this will help them, so to say. But they cannot speak, they cannot, because in the womb of, we say in the scriptures, in the womb of the mother, the soul into this,
the fetus.
Pray, because its consciousness is there in, I don't know, between 6 and 7 months. And you can see that really small children, they embrace these books because they have this picture. I mean, inside them. I'm very impressed by those children.
Absolutely, absolutely. How do you know who is your guru? And how do you know when you are prepared for guru? Okay. Guru-disciple relationship is something that is personal. It's something that it doesn't happen just this lifetime. It's something that is continuous. And usually when disciple is ready, guru will come. So that's the answer to the second part of your question. When you are ready, guru will come. So first you have to be ready. And like every other matter of the heart, when you find your guru, you will know. Now, there's the black and white. I can give you all the list of how guru should be, of how good disciples should be. But, and there are so many gurus who have these qualities. So many. But the one that is for you, you will know when the time comes. Or better still, when you are ready, he will come. You understand? I've had similar experience in my life. And it's like, I got my first initiation from Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. Then when he passed away, he gave instructions to take from two of his godbrothers. I don't want to mention any name. I tried to take from one. I did everything. It didn't happen. I did everything I could. Met people. It just didn't happen. The first day I met the second one, he prescribed to the first day I met the second one, the first meeting, very first meeting, after I spoke about myself, the first question he asked me, the very first question he asked me was something I was carrying in my head for a long time. I said, yes, this is it. I said, fine, this is it. No more. And even though there was some seemingly obstacles for us to have that happen, it happened. It happened just like this. And people were shocked, like, you know, how? Yeah. So when the time comes, you will know. But first, you have to be ready. Then guru will come. Yasya prasada, bhagava prasada. Yasya prasada, nagatikutopi. We sing it every day. By the mercy of guru, we get Krishna, blah, 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 blah. Vande guru, sacharana, ravinda. You understand? So be ready first, prepare. Then guru will come. And when he comes, you will know. Okay, without taking much time, we would like to end here. Thank you for your time. Please forgive me any offenses committed knowingly or unknowingly. And thank you. Dantara Sri Sri Chitaya Charita Amrita Ki. Itai Goro Premanande.